We thank you that we had many victories over the years, and you're not finished with us yet. We thank you that you never leave us or forsake us. We boldly say today you're our helper. We thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Make every ear a listening ear, every heart open to what you would say to them personally and what you would say to us corporately. And we thank you for that. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen and amen. Well, we're talking about what I call a faith pyramid. Because faith is the way to victory. You know that verse in 1 John we've used last week? This is the victory overcomes the world, even our faith. You want that reference? Is it 5-7 or 4-7? Victory is when you win. You're on top, you're out front. It's 5-4. This is the victory that overcomes the world. We said the world gives us real wide scope of victory. Anything and everything that's in the world, you can have victory if you follow God. That's pretty all-inclusive, isn't it? Doesn't say this is a victory over sickness. It says this is victory over the world, sickness being a part of the world. Doesn't say this is a victory over relationships. It says this is victory over the world. So if it's in the world, of the world, functioning through the world, and you're in the world, guess what? Victory. Now, the first step to victory, because faith has steps, is to hear. We talked about that a couple weeks. Scripture says, hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God. And a diligent hearer is one who's listening very carefully. James says, be swift to hear. One thing about the Scripture that will help you so much if you put all the like terms together. The Scripture doesn't say a lot of different things. It says a few things many different ways. John talks about victory, but Paul talks about conquering and triumph. Well, Joshua talks about success and prosperity. There isn't any difference in those. Oh, there's slight difference in the terminology and the meaning of the word, but the ultimate outcome of all of those words is you win. And that's the will and the plan, the program of God. Well, to hearken diligently is the same thing as to be swift to hear. It's not any different. Sometimes we make the book more complicated than it is. That means I'm listening for the voice of God, not the voice of any relative unless they speak what God is saying, not the voice of a TV program. You know John Wayne's not coming. I don't care what your dilemma is. He's not coming. So it's not the voice of anybody on TV. It's not certainly not the voice of the news. It's this is the voice of God. Faith comes by what? Hearing and hearing by the word of God. So what we want to hear in any dilemma is what God has to say. And so we're going to be careful hearers, and then we're going to believe. When we've heard from God, we're going to believe that. Well, sometimes the first time you hear it, you don't believe it. Or you know you should believe it. You have a mental grasp of it. You certainly do accept it, know this is the truth of God. But there's a difference in the head and the heart. And Scripture talks about not doubting in your heart. Well, then what would be in there? Would be faith. Faith being the noun, belief being the verb. It also says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. So faith is of the heart. Well, the way to get the word of God that you've heard in your heart is to say it over and over and over again. That's what meditation means. It means to mutter. It means to chew on, and like a cow would chew. You know, cows have two stomachs. Did you know that? And they eat all they can hold, and then they bring it back up and chew on it. And that's what they're doing sitting in the grass. They're eating yesterday's lunch or something like that. I told them that in Africa, and all those, the precious, they went, they're a sweet people. So you got to chew on what you hear. You got to hear it till it goes from the head to the heart. Your mental grasp of it, the fact that you can memorize it and repeat it. You know, you could give most of us a passage of Scripture and say, I give you a week to memorize that, and we could come back and memorize it, but whether or not we could say it next year. You know, I love one preacher. He said he thought the mind leaked. And I know exactly why he thought that. Because sometimes we know we should know, but we don't know. But we're going to meditate. It says day and night. Well, how much air conditioning do you want day and night? In Florida, day and night. When you travel, there's no air conditioning. Air conditioning is very American. And so we're very careful to go in the winter. I shiver a lot better than I sweat. I'm not into that perspiring. A lady told me men sweat. Horses perspire and women glisten. Is that what she said? Well, I glisten really well. And so I'm careful to go in the winter months. Well, we're going to meditate and mutter and hear night and day. That means we're continual hearers. That means we don't let it far from our grasp. That's when you put it on the front of your refrigerator, on your mirror in the bathroom, or wherever it is that you would hear it. You put it up there so you can read it over and over and over and over again, because you're making a heart deposit. You're putting it in the center of your heart. It's like planting a seed in the soil. Wayne's dad was a farmer. And you can put seed in the freezer, and a lot of times then you can use it the next year. Well, you have to be sure that it is coming up. You don't want to just wait the 2 or 3 weeks of germination and say, it's not coming up. So they go down at the end of the row, if it's frozen seed, and they check it, and they dig up the two plants at the end of the row to make sure that they are actually sprouting. Well, if you continue to put the Word of God in your heart, because the Word of God is alive, it's always alive and active, powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. So it is sprouting. I mean, it is growing in there, and it's growing up your spirit. Now, here's what the spirit man of a new Christian looks like. Here's the body. You know, we are spirit, soul, and body. And you're brand new, so you're a new creature. Therefore, if anybody be in Christ, he's a new creature. The spirit man looks very much like the physical man, no doubt made of different materiality. We can prove that to you, and maybe today, maybe some other time. But here's the man who's washed in the blood of the Lamb. Now, when you meditate on the Word of God, it goes through the mind. We're putting it up here just for reference. I told you the other week, the mind and the brain's not the same thing. You remember that? When you die, where's the brain? Where's the mind? With the spirit man. So the mind or the soul lives on and the brain dies. That's interesting, isn't it? Because we have those two coordinated together. So you meditate in the Word and you bring it through your mind into your spirit. And every time you meditate, you're making a deposit. In other words, that little seed is growing. Well, a new Christian looks kind of like this. Here's the body. I only draw fat people. Sorry. Is about this big. And so with every deposit that you make, you begin to grow. Oh, thank God for growth. It says, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may what? Grow! And we're supposed to grow. It says we're supposed to grow to the height of the stature of the image of Christ, the Son of God. We're supposed to be as big as He is, just using that analogy, not in any physical sense, that we're supposed to grow and to know and to see and to do. It says the strong spirit of man will sustain him in bodily pain or trouble. The strength of your spirit, the growth of your spirit is what's going to carry you through to victory. It's going to bring you back to the Word of God, the will of God, and the way of God. The mind is going to say, what, did you see that? Did you hear that? Do you know what they said? And the mind always, let's be reasonable. Let's be logical. Let's think this through. Well, logic will not bring victory, and the physical senses will not bring victory. Victory is of the Spirit. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith, and faith is of the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 4 says the Spirit of faith. Faith is of the Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit, the day you got born again, He lives in here. Oh, let's make Him green. Want to? I don't know what color He would be. He lives in there. And He's there because He's the teacher of the church. He's the one that's going to teach you and bring revelation. You know, you can read it. You can memorize it. You can quote it and not know what it meant. There are a lot of verses I don't know what they mean. Somebody asked me when I was going to teach revelation. I said, as far as I know, never. And then right after that, pastor asked me to teach a couple of lessons on the second coming and the rapture of the church. And what a channel challenge that was. Just said I wasn't going to do that. Never say never. Well, we're going to grow up in God. We're new creatures. Now the sinner, there's his body and there's his spirit. But when you become a Christian, it's because you believe in your heart and what? Confess with your mouth. In other words, hearing's not enough, believing's not enough. You've got to do something. And no matter what your dilemma, your problem, if your faith is to function, faith is always active. Faith is not what you have, it's what you do. Faith is an active word. You do faith. And so the first thing we do to become a Christian is what? Speak or confess Jesus as Lord. Those verses are in Romans chapter 10. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. The first thing we do in every situation, no matter what the dilemma, is to say what God is saying. Well, I can't say what God is saying, but I don't know what God is saying. Now, people have made fun of those confession books. I've heard them make fun of them. Doesn't bother me at all. I like them. Amen. You know, if you need a scripture, you need one. If you don't know where it is, you don't know where it is. And they make these wonderful books by subjects and categories. Every major ministry has one of some sort, and some more than one. And you find one you like, and you find your scripture. If you can't find it, you ask somebody you think knows the scripture. But faith comes by hearing. Victory is by faith. And faith begins with what you hear. If you hadn't heard anything, there's no chance you're going to have victory. Victory is not accidental. are incidental, are coincidental. It's deliberate, intentional, and on purpose. It's I set my course. God wants me to have victory. I set my face for victory. Whatever the challenge. And it begins with what I hear. Hearken diligently. And then believing what I hear. Putting it in my spirit. Saying it over and over again. Causing my spirit to grow. Causing it to be strong. And my strong spirit will sustain me. Maintain me. In other words, I can obtain my victory through the strength of my spirit. Sometimes our victory is limited because of the weakness of our spirit. Well, your spirit's weak. You know your body's weak if you haven't eaten. You know when they put you on airplanes, sometimes they feed you food that's not acceptable. You've been there? And something about one of the airways, they always put fish in the salad. I cannot deal with that. You know, I'm a pretty equal opportunity eater. But I don't want fish in my salad, so I'm not going to eat that. I mean, I opened it up. Here's my theory. If it won't go under your nose, it doesn't go in your mouth. That is it. And fish will not go under your nose. I'm not a fish eater. I've tried to eat fish because the world survives on fish. I'm not too good at it. I haven't even conquered shrimp yet. I think, whew, that is stinking stuff. Who could eat that? And so you have on the airplane some things, and then they feed you some dessert that's full of sugar. Well, I'm a moderate sugar person. Don't eat. If it's really, really sweet, I'm totally disinterested. I like my sugar in moderation. And so I'm not going to do this. It's usually a heavy brownie type thing with chocolate icing. I mean, that may really float your boat, but it doesn't work for me. Thinking, oh. So I put the lid back on that. And then you ordered the chicken, but they just gave out the last chicken dinner. I've been there. And what they have left, you know what they have left?
Fish.
The fish. And so when you get off the plane, you didn't eat anything. If you didn't eat anything, your body's in a weakened condition. The first thing you want to do is go buy some snack stand at some airport and get something, you know, in a bag. All over the world, whatever you buy should be vacuum sealed in a bag. You have to know how to survive in the world. You know, God expects us to use common sense and use wisdom. I'm not going to eat poison if I know it's poison. I'm not going to test or try God. It has to be in a vacuum sealed bag. And so that's what you want. You know your spirit could be weak. A lot of people leave their Bible in the car from Sunday to Sunday. And I always tell them, if that's what you do with your Bible, you need two copies. You need one for the house and one you can leave in the car. Get you two identical copies so that when you get in your car and go to church, your copy, your car copy's in there. We have scissors all over our house. I cannot stand it when I can't find the scissors. And so I have scissors in my glove compartment. Do you have scissors in your glove compartment? Listen, if you need anything at all, I'm confident it's in my glove compartment. You just ask me. We have aspirin. We have Band-Aids. We have scissors. We just have everything under the sun. So we have Ashley in the back seat. That's our granddaughter. And she says, Mames, can you pass me the car scissors? She knows we have car scissors. Well, we have kitchen scissors. And then we have sewing scissors. But we're not going to sew with them, you understand? We used to sew. I mean, every time I'd make something, I'd say, money cometh. I wasn't sewing because I wanted the experience. I was sewing because I wanted to wear clothes. That was the reason. I don't know where you came from, but God has prospered us. We were poor. Wayne started with the city $1 an hour. You figure that up, and I'll tell you how much our rent was, and you can figure that we didn't have much money. And if you wore it, you made it. And so I could even tailor a man's suit, but I was so glad the day came and didn't have to do that anymore. If you like that, that's fine with me. Your spirit can be weak. Your flesh can be weak. You know your mind can be weak. You've talked to somebody that their mind is not strong. Sometimes through disease. One little man, he's since gone to be with the Lord. He had, I don't know how many children now, was it 5 or 6 children? And every morning he'd get up, his grandchildren and his great-grandchildren used to think this was so funny, and they would tell him about it. He'd get up and recite the full name, the birth date, and everything he could remember about each child every morning. So one day they asked him, Renee, why do you always do that? He said, because I want to keep my mind sharp. And I thought that was a wonderful thing, that he knew that as you grow older, sometimes the mind tends to deteriorate, and we have to stand strong in faith. Because we don't want to go out with any weaknesses. We don't want to be carried out. We want to run to the door and say, see ya. I'm gone. So we want to stand strong. And victory is spirit, soul, and body. Now, 1 Thessalonians 5, you know that, verse 23. So the very God of peace, that's my favorite part. The very God of, that's who he is. God has a lot of different attributes, a lot of different characteristics. Different scriptures reveal different attributes, and that one talks about the very God of peace. He's a God that wants peace. So Jesus is our peace, so therefore being justified by faith, we have peace. Jesus said, my peace I leave with you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. There's a supernatural peace that's beyond anything that circumstances could bring to you, a peace that heaven grants. And God is the source of that peace. It says, he is our peace. And it says, he sanctifies us wholly. That's like eating the whole pie, W-H-O-L-L-Y, sanctifies you wholly, every single piece and part. Can be sanctified, set apart, preserved. It says blameless. My, I love that. Took me years and years to figure that out, how I was going to be sanctified blameless. And then one day I had this startling revelation. They overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So what you say strengthens your spirit. It plants in your spirit. It grows in your spirit. And by bringing it up out of your spirit, it brings you great victory. The word goes in the spirit. You meditate in it. How long? Day and night. Continually. And then one day, you speak right out of your spirit. And the faith that comes up out of the spirit, because faith is of the spirit, is the faith that brings you what you need. That does not mean at that point you see what you need. It means you know that you have it. You know, if my daddy, he's 80, fixing to be 86, and if I called and said, Daddy, I need $500, and he said, I've got it, I'll bring it Saturday. Now, I'm no longer thinking about that. If Wayne asked me, I said, oh, Daddy's bringing the money on Saturday. I have confidence, I'm sure, I'm secure, I have his promise. He always keeps his word, still keeps his word. But I haven't seen any money. And sometimes we want to see it and then believe it. But believing comes before the seeing and believing and doing. Faith is something you... Well, what are you doing? Now look at Joshua chapter 6. Let's look at some scriptural examples. And if any time you have a question, what I like you to do is you write it down. If I don't answer it while I'm teaching, then you bring me the question. And that works better for me. Joshua 6 is the story of the taking of Jericho. Joshua is the leader, and they're going to cross the Jordan River and take the city of Jericho. It is just about 7 miles west of the Jordan River. Now, God gives specific instructions in chapter 6, verse 2. The Lord said, I have given into thy hand Jericho. Now, over and over again, the fact that God wants you to have it, the fact that he's given it to you, doesn't mean you will have it. That's where we've made some mistakes. We think if God gives it, he sends it. If God wants me to have it, he'll send it. No, he might not. See, because you have a part to play. There's a Godward side and a manward side. The Godward side is, this is what God says. This is his will. This is what he wants. This is what he has for you. Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. That's pretty all-encompassing, isn't it? He said, I've given you the land. But now they're going to have to go do what God said in order to take the city. He gave it to them, but they can't be idle. They can't be sedentary. It's not automatic. The things of God are not automatic. If you're on automatic pilot, you're not in the victory place. Now, he said, I've given you the land, the Jericho, the city, and the king. Well, you know the king's not going to come right out and say, oh, here I am. God said that I belong to you. He's not coming out at all. In fact, he's going to hide. In fact, he's going to be surrounding himself with his military might if he knows you're coming. See, there's something we have to do in order to receive. God, through Jesus Christ, provided great blessing, great bounty. You don't have to be distressed. You don't have to be uptight. You don't have to be full of dread. Or you don't have to be hysterical. Has that ever happened to you? I'm not hysterical too much, but I remember occasion. We won't even review it. It was pathetic. Look at verse 3. You shall compass the city. Okay, now here's what they're going to do to receive what God has given. All men of war, go round about the city once. Thou shalt do 6 days. 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpet. It shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn. Now see, every word of God is significant. If God said make a long blast, he doesn't want you to go toot. Would you surmise that? A long blast is a long blast. When you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat. The people shall ascend up every man straight before them. Now they could hear what God had to say and not do that. They could sit in the camp, in their tents, outside the city, and never march around the city. How ridiculous is that, march around the city, expect the wall to come down? Oh, we could just have a parade around this building. See how many laps it would take before we could get it down. What do you think? See, God's not dependent upon reason. That's why we don't lean to our understanding, because the ways of God are not reasonable. If word had come to us, Daniel's in the lion's den, he needs to be rescued, we'd say, okay, let's get the committee together. You get a architectural draft of the palace so that we can see how to get in. If you can get the security system, you time when the guards come and go. We've got to have a way in, and everything we do be reasonable and logical, and it wouldn't save Daniel. God said, no, none of that. I'll shut the mouth of the lion. See, God's ways are not our ways, but we can be a participant in His way if we do what He does say. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And it doesn't depend upon, can it happen? Who cares? With God, all things are possible. City shall fall down flat. Let me tell you about this wall. This wall had houses built on it. It would run two chariots abreast. It was a major thoroughfare, a major highway. And so we're not talking about a picket fence here. We're not even talking about a little stone wall like you might see a lot of those in Scotland. We're talking about a wall, and it's just going to fall down. Archaeologists, thank you, Holy Ghost, that study, say, and it even fell in the wrong direction. The way the wall was constructed, it should have fallen in a particular direction. It fell in the opposite direction. It's because Almighty God is going to get all the glory. I can't remember. It should have fell in, it fell out, should have fell out, fell in. I'd have to go back and find my writing. But it fell in the wrong direction. They say there's no way it could have fallen that way had it fallen on its own. It would not have happened. But see, now they've got to go around. Now, Rahab lived on that wall. Her house was on the wall. The scripture tells us her house was on the wall. When Joshua sent spies to spy out the city, he sent two spies, and she hid them and protected them and let them down by a cord down the side of the wall. And so when she found out the city was going to be destroyed and the wall was going to come down, she asked for protection for her family. And they said, if you stay in your house on the wall, you will be saved. They said, you put a red cord out the window. So the wall falls flat, and then they go in and get Rahab. Can you imagine sitting on the wall in your house when the whole thing falls flat? Almighty God! Not depend upon our mind. That's why we don't lean on our mind. That's why we don't let our body tell us what to do. But faith is of the... Faith always is, what does God say? How's God want us to handle this? You know, if you work for somebody, or if you used to work for somebody, you want to know how they want you to do that. And I'm very careful to ask questions and to repeat to them. Now, you want me to do it this way, you want me to set it this, and you want it back on your desk at this time, so that I can get everything in order. Well, that's why we meditate in the Word of God, because He has a particular order, a particular route of victory. Victory begins with what you hear. Now, if you need healing, read and given it shall be given unto you is probably not the scripture for you. Although I like that one. But there are better scriptures for healing. You understand the scripture needs to apply to the need. And then you need to read it until you believe it. You know, if you believe in something, I told you about my friend's pound cake recipe. It's still in the file. I was at her house, and she said, have you ever had my aunt's pound cake? I said, no. And she harassed me. Said, well, you need to have this recipe. I said, no, I have one. I like, use it all the time. Used it for years. Really like it. If I want to bake a pound cake, I'm going to use mine. And she just wouldn't let up. She just wouldn't let up. She went on and on. Finally, I said, write it down for me. Write it down for me. Still got it in the file. I could go pull it out before you haven't ever baked it. But I got it. Now, why did she keep harping on me about that recipe? Huh? She believed in it. She hadn't even tasted mine. Mine could have been better. She didn't know if hers was better than mine. She had no way of knowing if hers was better than mine. But she's so confident, so sure, so secure that hers is better, that she's harassing me. And I'm so confident, I'm not interested. First of all, hers didn't have any sour cream in it. And sour cream runs the world. Did y'all know that? Didn't have any sour. I knew right away it didn't have any sour cream in it. It couldn't be much good. I think it did have 3 sticks of butter, so that elevated it. Well, faith is something you do. Joshua had God's order, but he had to follow God's order. He had to get those people lined up, go around the wall 6 days, keep the mouth shut, don't say anything, and the 7th day, don't shout till I tell you to. Had to be done God's way, and when it's done God's way, it always works, it always brings victory. But it wasn't an overnight victory, it took them 7 days. But that's not too bad, is it? Haven't you waited longer than that for something? So you know what causes us to give up many times? It's time. After a day or two, a week or two, we think, well, that ain't going to work. And we turn loose of our faith. No, faith works. Faith works. Faith always works. If you stand in line, say what God said. Now let's look at another one. Let's go to the New Testament and look at Luke chapter 5. Faith is what you do. It's what you do based on what you believe. What you believe is based on what you hear. Now Jesus is preaching from Simon's boat in chapter 5. And after he finishes his sermon, he says in verse 4, when he left speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep, let down your nets for a draught. Depends on what section of the country you come from as to how you pronounce that word. Your pronunciation's okay with me. Simon said, Master, we've toiled all night, have taken nothing. Nevertheless, I love this part, at thy word I will. At thy word I will. Now, you can't catch fish in that country in the daytime in the hot sun. Fish are not dumb. They'll go to the deeper water, to the cooler water, and you'll not be able to catch them. And they go at night because the water's cooler, and the fish are closer to the surface, easier to catch, and they're feeding at night. Now, these were professional fishermen, so they know how to catch fish, and they'd been there all night, and there aren't any fish. You tell a professional fisherman to get in your boat in the 85-degree weather. He already let Jesus know. Been there and done that. But at thy word. At thy word. I will. See, he had to do something. He had to get his boats. Of course, they're washing the nets. So they got to get the nets together, get the boat loaded, get back in the boat. And it says they caught a boat sinking load of fish. Why? They obeyed. Victory comes through obedience. Victory comes through hearing what God would say to you in His Word, hearing what He would say, hearing it, saying it, until your heart's full. Out of the abundance of the... Most everybody wants victory, but nobody wants to work at it. They want it to be quick, they want it to be easy. And I like the prayer the lady prayed. She said, Lord, make this easy. I thought it was a brilliant prayer. However... seldom works that way. Diligence is persistence. It's keeping at it. You know, if you watch House and Garden, that's what I watch. And they show you these homes and they say, how long you been working? Oh, we've been working and remodeling this for 15 years. Have y'all seen that one? Can you imagine living in sawdust, every other kind of dust? All those years. Years ago, we stayed with a friend in North Carolina. Went up to visit. They were close to us at one time. That's before we jumped ship and went to Pentecost. And that affects relationships sometimes. But it doesn't affect my part. And so we've stayed with them since. They're sweet people. But they bought this real old house to remodel. And so they put us in the spare room. It was lovely. We were sitting in the living room. It was lovely. The kitchen had been remodeled. It was beautiful. But there was a door in the back. And she said, now don't open that door. Well, the minute she said that, I thought, wonder what's back there. So she said, oh, well, here, she opened it, and that's where that room had never been remodeled. It was original. Oh, it was ugly. It was dirty, you know, dark, dank, despicable. I closed the door real quick. I thought, shh, don't open that door. Because it hadn't done any work there. Because it takes time. And the things of God often take time. First thing you've got to dedicate yourself is to the time. Now, the mistake we make is say, God, I need this by Friday at noon. Friday at noon! Oh, that seldom works out. You know, if it doesn't come by noon, they'll call and say, or you can call them and say, you know, I need another week, and they'll say, fine. God has a way of working things out. He has a way of working things out. Persistence. Persistence. Faith is persistent. Faith never surrenders. It never gives up. If they'd have gone around the wall that first day and said, no, this is not working. Or if Peter and the guys would say, we're not fishing in the daytime, you can forget it, that never works. We know that doesn't work. See, it's not what you think or how you feel, it's what God has said. And God will work it out. He expects us to say yes today, tomorrow, until it comes. And that brings victory. Faith is what you do. Now, we have a man in the same chapter that's sick of the palsy, and his friends take him up on the roof because they couldn't get into the house to see Jesus. And so Jesus seeing their faith, that's in verse 20. So we know they had faith. Jesus said so. He saw faith. You see that word saw? Did you know you can see faith? He said he saw their faith. What did he see? He's standing there teaching. The room's crowded with people. Suddenly the sky opens up and pours in. Shingles, they probably didn't have shingles. They probably had some kind of hay or straw roofs like we see in Africa. Began falling in. He said he saw all that. Because faith without works is, we read that last week. Faith without, do you know your faith can be dead? Inoperative, it's not working. Just because you know you're healed doesn't mean that's working for you. The one that helps me so much with sick people, and I see, here's where we are today. Here's the will of God. The will of God is always for them to be well, always for them to be healed. By Jesus' stripes you were healed. He sent his word to heal you. No weapon formed against you prospers. Rise up in the name of Jesus and be well. But here we are today, very sick and healing. Can we get them there in the time allotted? Can we get them there to the will of God? See, sometimes the truth is people don't know enough, they haven't heard enough, and if the gifts of the Spirit don't move because they move apart from, distinctly from your faith, and we'll cover that one day, if the gifts of the Spirit don't move, can we get them in faith, coupling our faith with them because your faith shores them up, aids them, benefits them, and propels them forward? Can we get them to the finish line before the disease overtakes them? And sometimes we can't. We just can't. It doesn't alter the will of God. He wanted them to be healed. We couldn't get them there from where they were. Does that make sense to you? That's why we're here. That's why on a good day, I mean, you're feeling fine. You don't have a pain. Take out your healing scripture, your healing confession book. Put some healing into you because you may need it tomorrow. Put some financial scriptures in you. Your children may be fine today. They may call tomorrow. You know, I can tell. They'll say, the phone rings and they'll say, Mom. You know that sound? Mom. I say, what? You know instantly. You have alarms going off. Something's not right. I can call my mother. And I say, how are you doing today? She says, well. I know exactly what that means. I don't even need an explanation. Oh, but can we get them where we're going? Because faith brings victory, but faith is dependent upon what you hear. It depends upon your concentration, your belief in God, and it depends upon what you do. Now, if you need a job, you needn't sit home and make, you can say everything you want to say. God meets my need out of his riches and glory. I don't have to worry about anything but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. I make my request known, but if you don't get out there and go door to door and put in some applications, you're not going to get a job because faith is what you do. Faith is what you do. But see, as you go door to door, you're going, no, that's not the job. One lady, she used to come here years ago. She brought me a newspaper. She had done the same thing for 20, 25 years, and her company actually was absolved. And so she didn't have a job. She didn't know how to do anything else. And it was an unusual job, and there's not too much hope for employment in that field. And so, but she had been reading the paper, and she said, you know, this ad right here, this is my job. She said, I was reading this, and she said, you won't believe this, but see, I believe unusual things because God's an unusual. This is the God that opened the Red Sea with a rod, said, be opened, that shut the mouth of lions. That said, rise and be healed when you hadn't walked in 38 years. So I believe in the weird things. She said, these words, when I opened this ad, these words to this ad stood up on the page, and they were different than the other words. She said, this is my job. So it's in Orlando. She goes and applies for that job, and they hire her. 2 weeks later, they call and said, we've done another our annual budget thing, and we actually don't have enough money to pay you for the year, and so we're not going to fill this position. We thank you for applying. You are exactly what we wanted, but we can't pay you at this time. So she comes back to me, and she says, I lost a job. I said, wait, just a cotton-picking minute. You told me that was your job. You said the words to the paper stood up. Is that what happened? Then that's your job. She said, but they said, I don't care what they said. That's your job. God said that was your job. He showed you that's your job. It's your job. I said, you can hang on to this job and they'll call you back and hire you. You can turn loose of this job and you won't have a job. So about 2 weeks later they called. She said, okay. See, that's why we need one another. You need the strength of the body. She's new. That's almost too much for her. I said, I'm going to help you. We're going to have this job. You told me you had a supernatural sign. You know, God doesn't send supernatural signs just because he needs entertainment for the day. He had other things to do and other people to help, but he chose to send that sign to her. God can do everything at once. That's the good news. 2 weeks later, they called back and they said, we had a piece of property for sale. Had it for sale for over 10 years. We had taken the sign off the property. It's no use trying to sell it. It won't sell. Man came in, said, I found out you own this property. He had cash. He paid cash. He said, we have enough to pay you for a year. She said, I'm moving to Orlando. I got the job. See, faith is persistent. And sometimes what you do is hold on. You go to the playground. The merry-go-round goes round and round and round, and the little kids are holding on because they don't want to fall off. See, either hold on to faith or you fall off. And if you fall off, you don't win. Now, where's my Bible? Let's see where we want to go. Look at Mark chapter 5. What can you do? What are you supposed to do? Well, it depends upon what you're believing. But the first thing you do, the first thing every single person does is maintain their confession of faith. Whatever words you're using, you don't ditch it once you know what you need. This is the woman with the issue of blood in verse 27 said she had heard of Jesus. So there's our first thing. She had heard. Now I can tell you by reading this exactly what she had heard. She said, verse 28, the first thing we do is say what God said to us. We don't have to say it to the world, say it to the mirror, say it in the car, say it to the steering wheel, say it to a spouse, a believing spouse or a believing friend. Don't say it to an unbeliever. When she heard of Jesus, she said, if I touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And that tells you what she heard. What did she hear? Huh? She heard everybody touched him, got healed. You know how I know that's what she heard? Keep your finger there and look over at Matthew chapter 14. Faith is what you do. It's what you do. Verse 35. The man that place had knowledge. Faith accompanies knowledge. Knowledge and faith are like bread and butter. If you have faith, you have some knowledge. There's no such thing as what do you believe in? Well, just nothing, really. That's not faith at all. Had knowledge of him. They sent out into all the country round about and brought him all that were diseased and besought him they might only touch the hem of his garment. As many as touched were made perfectly whole. I know exactly what the woman with the issue of blood, she heard everybody touched him was getting whole. And she said, when I touch him, she believed that. See, she believed that, so what she said. What you believe, you say. Saying is a part of believing. Saying is a part of doing. If you don't say it, you don't get it. That's how that works. And so she said, now we know she's in faith, back to Mark 5:34, because Jesus said, thy faith made her whole. Well, what was the components of her faith? Began with what she heard. And then she said, now saying it wasn't enough in her case. Saying it's enough sometimes, saying it's not enough every time. What has she got to do? She's got to go find him, touch him. What if she sits home on the sofa and says, if I touch him, I'll be whole. If I touch him, I'll be whole. Is that going to work for her? I don't know but one person all my years. I'm in my 60s. In all my years, only one time did a lady sit on her sofa and somebody called and asked her to come work for them. That generally is not going to work. You're going to have to make some application. You're going to have to put some foot power to it. You're going to have to put some prayer to it. You're going to have to be led by the Spirit to the place. She could sit on her sofa. She had the right knowledge. She said the right thing. So you can have the right facts, the right data, the right promise, the right scripture. You can meditate day and night. But if you don't get up off your sofa and do something, you won't get it. Now, Joel was in remedial math in third grade. I can remember I was absolutely flabbergasted when they called and said, we need your permission. We're going to put Joel in remedial math. Well, Joel's basically he's not an A student. He's a consistent student. He's a persistent student. He is an achiever by reason of diligence. Suzanne was an achiever by reason of brilliance, but Joel was an achiever by reason of diligence. But we had not had any trouble with math. So I thought, I'll go down and look. So I went down to the class. So I could tell the teacher loved the students. I appreciate that, and that's why I didn't say too much. She really did love them. But there was a lot of chaos, a lot of disorder, you know. And I'm a very orderly person. And I thought that maybe this is the reason he doesn't learn well. But she loved him so much, and he loved her so much, I thought it'd probably do him disservice to move him at this time. So I thought we'll just help him. Well, third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade, seventh grade. I mean, we like to never caught on to math. We did everything. We tried everything. I was an A student. I reviewed my math. You know, I was still good at A. Even at my age then, I was still good at addition, subtraction, multiplication, and maybe into fractions. I don't know. We worked with him, and we never got it. But we had this scripture. It's in Daniel chapter 1. Faith begins with the Word. It 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 begins by saying the Word. So Joel said this. I'll tell you what happened. Where's Daniel? I'll read it to you. Ezekiel, Daniel. See, if somebody says what word you're standing on, you should instantly know. If you can't quote it, you should say it's, you should have your marker in it. You know those little things they put, these things? Those have a purpose. They're not decorative. Just put your marker there. Now in Daniel chapter 1, verse 17. As for Joel Cumby, God gives him, that's what it looks to me, knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. That's what it says. If it'll work for Daniel and any other four children, it'll work for Joel. I know. God's not a respecter of persons. We said that in third grade. We said it in fourth grade. We said it in fifth grade. We said it in sixth grade. We said it in seventh grade. We had a preacher come to this church, and Joel said to me, he's about 12. He said, I'm going to go ask him what to do about my math. Now, don't discourage your children from going to the man of God. Please, please, please don't. I've seen parents do that. It upsets me. Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me. The man of God wants to talk to your children. Don't ever stop them. You know, I know children do strange things, but the man of God can handle that, okay? He'll be all right. I said, well, you go ask him. And so the man of God opened, he flipped, and he read Joel this very scripture, and he said, oh, me and Mama know that one. This is the kid that made A in calculus in college, several courses of calculus. My brother has three girls, and Kimberly, especially Kimberly, well, and the others too would call, and they want Joel to come over and help them with their math. To this day, people will still call, especially Kimberly. She's in college now. And said, where's Uncle Joel? I said, use this, call him on the cell, Kimberly. I know what she wants. I said, what is it? She says, it's my trigonometry. I can't figure it out. But God gives knowledge and skill, and we said it, and we said it, and we said it, and we said it. But we didn't just say it. We tutored him. We helped him. We provided tutors. We observed in the class, faith is what you do. It's what you do. Faith is what? And the first thing you do in every case, and let's finish with this verse in the Proverbs. The first thing you do is quote the word. Speak the word. Speak the word. We overcome. Revelation by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Chapter 18. These are wonderful verses, especially if you take out a new translation, verses 20 and 21. Now, Jesus said, out of the belly shall flow rivers. So the belly is this inward man. It's the spirit man. It's where faith is. Out of man's belly, verse 20, shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. Fruit is the end result. The end result is going to come from where? See, if you have a tree, you don't just want leaves. You don't just want blossoms. If it's an orange tree, an avocado tree, tangerine tree, a grapefruit tree, a peach tree, you want fruit. So fruit is the final product. It's end result. This is where we're going. What we want is a decent grade in math. Now, you may be searching for an A, and that's all right with me. What I always tell my children, let's do the best we can. Don't pressure your children. It bothers me. If it doesn't bother you, that's fine. A man's belly shall be satisfied, what? With fruit. Where does the fruit come from? Where does the fruit come from? It comes from what you say. But what you say is not everything. In your situation, there may be something to do. If you owe a big bill and you don't have the money, you write the check, you put it in the envelope, you put the stamp on the envelope, and then hide the envelope so you don't mail it before the money comes. Hide it so your husband doesn't mail it before the money comes. But with that, I'm saying, okay, I believe I've asked for this money, and I believe $114.12 comes before this is due, and I thank you, Father, for it, and I'm ready the minute the money comes in to go to the bank, make the deposit, and put the check in the mail. I don't even have to write the check. I got it written. Haven't mailed it. You can't mail a faith check. See, so you've got to say and do. Faith is what you... It's what? And what you do depends upon your situation. Then it says, with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. That's your spirit man, is being filled with what you say. If you plant the word of God, that relates to your dilemma. And you say it and fill your heart full of it. And faith begins to grow because faith increases. Romans says we go from faith to faith. And Thessalonians talks about increasing faith. So faith can get larger. It can blossom and bloom. Your faith can take over that situation. But faith is what you say and what you do. Now, the thing I must remind us, I thought we'd get the scripture today, but we won't, is you always approach God with great joy. It's not just the scripture you say, but it's thanksgiving and praise and joy. Why? Because this is working. I can't see that it's working. I don't feel like it's working. It doesn't look like it's working, but it's working. It's working. The Word of God is working. It's working. It's working. The Word of God is working. It's working. It's working. It's working. Down inside, the Word of God is working. 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 It says, Paul says, Philippians 1:4, make your request with joy. And you know when they were in prison, Paul and Silas, it says they prayed, sang praises. They were still in prison. They weren't delivered. They had no hope of deliverance in the natural. They had every hope of imprisonment or execution. If you saw the prisons of those days, you'd be horrified. It's beyond your imagination. A lot of them were just holes in the ground. And they would lower you down in that hole. You can't even see anything. You're just in a hole in the dirt. And you may be there forever. They had no hope, no natural hope. And yet, they prayed and sang praises. And then Paul later recorded, many of the afflictions of the righteous, but out of them all, the Lord hath delivered me. That's why I know what he believed. He believed he's going to be delivered. He believed he was going to fulfill his course. He believed he's going to come to say, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. It didn't look like it that day. So faith is what you do. You always speak the word. You always fill your heart with joy, thanksgiving, and praise. And then anything else you do depends upon your situation. Now, don't do something dumb. Will you promise me that? See, already, one lady told me, the Lord told her, okay, she was to go out and sit on a park bench all day. Well, here's how I know that wasn't right, because her husband begged her not to do it. So automatically, we can't do that. But anyway, that's a dumb thing to do. I'm being sure you're hearing from the Lord. What are we going to accomplish all day on the park bench? Huh? You might be mugged out there. Don't do anything dumb. What you do. You know, if you want a car, go down the lot and look for one. Pick out your color. Decide on what you'd buy when the money comes or when the financing's available. Use common sense. Don't do anything. Say, I will not. Do anything dumb. And if I think it might be dumb, I'm going to consult with a spiritual friend. You will do that for me, won't you? I see you think people don't do dumb things, but I can make you a whole list of dumb things people have already done. We thank you, Father. See, faith is what I do. It's what I say. It's my heart filled with praise. And it's what I do. Oh, thank you, dear Father. Help us to make the word clear. Thank you for drawing to us so very near. Teach us, Father. Help us to apply the word that we've heard to our situation. We thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.